Praise God. We expect to get exactly what He needs us to get this morning. Amen?
Amen.
You didn't come to hear me. Just a vessel. Just a vessel. You really came to hear the Mighty One, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And what He does is amazing. When you come, when you're under the anointed Word of God, He is speaking to each heart individually, right where we're at. We all have different experiences. We have different backgrounds, and the Holy Spirit is coming right alongside you, giving you a message right for you today. It's amazing, because a classroom isn't like that. You ever taken math? I mean, I took a lot of semesters of math in college, you know, for my engineering degree. Number of classes. If you try to start in the last one, you're done. You just sit there. You're not going to get anything. You know, if you haven't taken Calculus 1, you go into Calculus 3, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But the Holy Spirit, see, spiritual things aren't like mental things. So this morning, when He is speaking, He's speaking to each of us right where we are at and bringing us up to that next level, all of us. We're all going to go up. We all may be in different levels, but we're all going to move up, and He's speaking what we need, each of us. Amazing. A man can't do that, but the Holy Spirit can. He's the teacher. He's the teacher. We're drawing on Him this morning. Why don't you turn over in your Bibles to Acts 2:41. Everybody have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, we have extras in the back there. Anybody need a Bible? Need one? Thank you. You may have 5 or 10 at home, but you just didn't bring yours today. That's all right. It's good to lay your eyes on it, though. Good to look at it. Good to turn the pages. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We can just get so used to this. You know, we just have these nice modern books. We have them on our phones and whatever. You just get used to it. I mean, you can just not see this for what it is. This is ancient. This has been passed down, carefully copied over and over. This is the oldest document in the world.
Hallelujah.
This is the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're looking at the words of God. Now, you could, if you had this, if this were looking, the one in your hand, it wouldn't be in your hand. Let's say, you know, you go to a museum and you see this ancient book. Well, then it kind of brings it home. You know, there, ooh, that's old. Look at the pages and look at the writing. It's handwritten. This is the same text. Same text. It's just, yeah, it's modern manufacturing and all that stuff. But it's the text is what's important. It's not the book itself. Should treat the book with respect, but some people treat the book with more respect than the words in it. That's not good. No, it's the Word. Hallelujah. Acts 2:41. The beginnings of the church. It says, "Then those who gladly received His Word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders," or reverence, not like fear, running scared. God's not the author of fear. "But reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." I like that. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That just gives me a picture. Just going about their business. They're eating their food in gladness and simplicity of heart. Oh, sometimes we just have gotten so complicated in this day and age. Just, you know, it's all about, number one, it's all about Him. But then while we're on this earth, it's all about relationships and everything. I don't care how many devices you have, connecting with how many people. In the end, you're connecting with the person. And it's really just about us relating to one another and enjoying those things, not these distractions that so often are permeating society and distracting people from what is true. Number one, it's distracting them from the Lord. People are way, way, way too distracted with meaningless trivia. Too busy. I'm too busy. What are you busy with? When we get down to it, what are we doing? This isn't my message, but it's good anyway. What are we doing? People, I don't have time to go to church. What are you doing? I don't have time to, you know, do something with my family. Well, what is so important that you can't do the very basic things? I don't have time to exercise. Well, we all can feel that pressure, but I mean, this is our earth suit. When this one's done, we don't get another one. Amen? It's just these simple little things. I mean, really, look at that. They're eating with gladness and simplicity of heart. I mean, I think we're getting way too complicated in this earth. Well, that's just ignorant. Dumb. You're just satisfied with spending time with your family and your fellow believers and eating and drinking and go about your business. And that's boring. That's boring. That's not sophisticated. Who's saying anything about sophisticated? Yeah, we may be, if you're simple is not a bad thing. You know, if you've ever taught anything, if you've designed anything, if you do it in simplicity, heard it said, simplicity is not when there's nothing to add, it's when there's nothing left to take away. If you can get a design down to where it is simple or a teaching down to where it's simple, that means you're getting the core. This is the essence. And if you've ever taught anything, you try to go explain something to a young child, you'll find out if you really know what you're talking about at some point, because they'll ask you questions or you'll hit things and you'll realize, I really don't know here. I really don't know the way I think I know. No, simplicity is not bad. You having a simple life, is it? I mean, just me saying that. What does that bring to your mind if you were to say that on the street? Somebody's simple. That means they're stupid, they're backwards, they're not sophisticated, they're out of the know, right? But if you know God, think about this. You know God, but you don't know the latest technology necessarily. I'm not saying nothing wrong with technology. I'm just saying, paint a picture. You know the Lord. You know your Creator. You have a good relationship with Him. You have your family taken care of. You have your health taken care of. You're plugging along in life. Compare that person to the person that doesn't know the Lord but knows all the latest technology, knows all the latest shows and whatever. Who has the real life? This one's simple. But they know their Creator. If you don't know Him, what else is there? I mean, really, what? I'm sophisticated. Sophisticated in what? We're supposed to be simple when it comes to evil and certain things, right? It's easy to get distracted. Oh, so easy. Everything you see, when you drive down the interstate, I mean, in certain places, closer to get to Boston, man, there's billboards all over here. That's not necessarily a good thing if you're really looking at the billboard when you're driving. You know, some of those billboards, they get your attention. It's not necessarily a good thing, but you can see things. They're there to put a thought in your head, put a seed, just to get you to remember a name. That's what they're there for. They're distractions. That's what, all these commercials and things are. They're trying to get you distracted. Distracted from what? Just to get your mind on something. Well, so many things in this earth are getting our minds on something, and a lot of times it's distracting us away from the things that really do matter. Hallelujah. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's really where I wanted to get to there. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, who added to the church? The Lord. The Lord builds the church. You know that? Whose church is it? It's His. It's not a man's. We all ought to be doing what we're doing to Him. It's His work. It's His. I know we can give mental assent to that, but we need to know that whatever we do, we ought to do it under the Lord, the Word says in another place. It's His. Our children? Well, those are my children. Well, we're stewards for a little bit. We're stewards, but we don't own them. Do your parents own you now, adults? They run your life? No, you have your own life, right? We have our own lives. Well, they're the same way. Our children are only going to be with us for so long. We're stewards. Ultimately, they're the Lord's, and He's the one that's going to take care of them. He'll take care of them. He'll grow them up. If we have this mentality, it can take a lot of burden off of us when we realize, ultimately, they're the Lord's. Ultimately, what you're doing in life, if you're doing it as unto Him, if you're doing it because He told you to do it, then you're doing it at His direction. He knows what's going on. It's His job to bring it along to where it needs to be. And this kind of goes with what we're saying. Well, I'll just save that for just a minute, verse 46. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "And I, brethren," I'm going to pick up here and then we're going to back up in 1 Corinthians. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Spiritual people. You know what makes you spiritual? You're aware of spiritual things. That mean you're just flaky and weird? No, that's what some people say. No, the more spiritual you are, the more aware of you are of spiritual things, the more godlike you are, and God is love. And we've talked about that before. The more you walk in love, the more your character is like Him, is love. That's a spiritual person. He said, "I couldn't talk to you, though, as spiritual people, but as carnal or natural." That means, you're going off doing everything necessarily that's wrong, although it could mean that. It means you're more aware of the natural and the flesh and what is around you than spiritual realities. That's carnal. And Paul says, "I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people. I had to talk to you like natural people." Verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it." You were not able to receive it. Let me let you in on something. Somebody said it like this: it does not matter what somebody needs. It doesn't matter what you know. Or you could put it this way: it doesn't matter what you know, it doesn't matter what the other person needs, it only matters what they will receive. I'll say that again. It does not matter how much you know or what you know, it doesn't matter what the other person needs, it only matters what they can receive. That means you can see somebody in a certain state and you may know exactly how to fix it. And it might be that they are in dire need of that help. But if they won't receive it from you, it doesn't make any difference. You cannot get it in them. Sometimes we want to help so much that we'll throw things into people's faces. We'll say, "You need this. I'm going to try to get it across to you." But it'll only go so far. It might not even really get in their ears. But even if they hear it, if it doesn't get into their heart, it's of no avail, and it can do a lot more damage. Sometimes we want to We see what somebody needs, and instead of being led by the Holy Spirit and how to address it, we push on in the flesh and say, I'm going to do what I need to do and fix it. You're going to listen to me. You can't do that. You can't make somebody listen to you. You can make them sit there. They can maybe hear you with their physical ears, but that's not what you want. You want their heart to be open and receptive, and you can't make anybody's heart receptive and open. And if they're not listening to God, they're not going to listen to you. Do you hear me? If somebody is going to reject the Almighty, well, he's tried, now I'm going to get in there and see what. Really? No, if people are going to reject him, they're going to reject you. This will help us. We don't have to fix everything when we're dealing with, especially with family. Sometimes the last person in the world they want to listen to is you, because they know you. We saw this in Jesus' ministry. This is the guy, you know, I've seen for years. He's the carpenter. And they didn't respect him. Well, so many times our family knows us. They've seen the good, the bad, in some cases the ugly. They don't want to hear what you have to say. And then they'll receive the same thing that you know that you could have told them from somebody else. We just need to be led. We just need to be led. What is God saying? What is God telling us really to do? He said, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. You're still natural. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's the Lord that's watching over his work. In our lives, everything that is the Lord's, it's up to him, that it's his ability that is getting the job done. We are just stewards. We're just people that are yielding to him and say, God, how do you want me to be used? Where do you want me? Because it's you. Because it's him. Notice that. This is Paul, the apostle, the one that wrote a good portion of our New Testament. What did he say? So neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God. He said, basically, I'm nothing. And he said that as much in our place. It's not me. I'm nothing. Well, if he's nothing, what are you and I? I'm not saying that he's better than I, but I mean, if you want to take just works and what you've done or your ministry and whatever, you want to stack it up against him? I mean, really, we're talking naturally. And Paul said the same thing. You want to talk natural? Talk like a fool? Okay, I'm a fool. Here's my lineage. Here's my stock. Here's my credentials, if you will. And I don't think there's too many people that are foolish enough to say, I have a more effective ministry or a more effective life than the Apostle Paul. And yet he said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And it doesn't matter if it's this person or this person, it's God. And the more we have this attitude and sincerity of heart, the more our lives reflect really him and what he wants us to do. Because it is so. The world does not think like this. And this goes back to what we were saying earlier. It really just went right along with the things we're going to say the rest of the time. But the world doesn't think like this. The world does not yield to him. The world says you're a fool if you believe in a God. You're a fool. It's a crutch. You don't have enough smarts. You don't have enough abilities. You have to rely on some God. That's not a new concept. That's not new. That's been all throughout history. Men have chosen to follow the Almighty, or they've chosen to walk in the flesh and do what they want to do. And then they say, I've done it. I've done it. It's all about me. I'm a self-made man or woman. Well, you can go that direction. You can do certain things that way. But a true spiritual person, a true wise person is going to follow him and say, God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. What do you want me to do? You tell me, and I'm going to do that, and you're going to bring the increase. And this does not go at all with society today. This is considered simple. This is considered backwards. This is considered ignorant. Who's ignorant? I'm not being ugly. I'm not saying, but when you look at it, if there is a God who made us and you don't know him or say he doesn't exist, yet you know about some other things which he had a hand in making as well, and you think knowing about that is more important than the one that created everything, where is the ignorance? Because we're going to all face him one day, and if we don't think he exists, how ignorant can you get? Really, I'm not being mean or anything. I mean, really, this is where our society is going, folks. It's coming back hard. Christians are being called out. You're ignorant. You're stupid. You're just, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't have intelligence. You don't have education. It's being pushed. Where is it pushing you to? To away from him. Here's the wisdom. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should be doing. You know, there's nothing wrong with listening to men's wisdom in areas. Just be sure it doesn't contradict what God has said. Because sometimes we'll give more credence to what some man is saying and say, well, this is the way it ought to be in different realms. And this person doesn't know God at all, but they're given. We got to be very careful where we get our advice from. Because financial advice. There are things you can learn in the world financially. But if you're taking your advice from somebody that does not tithe, does not give, and does not follow what the Word says and throws all that out, there is no God, but this is what you ought to do with your money, they can sink just as fast as any other man can sink. Things can change like that. Well, we're going to go to this market and this market. I'm not saying you can't. What you do is you listen to those things and see what quickens in the inside. Is God saying, yes, that's something you should do? But don't let people that don't even know God tell you how a Christian ought to act or what you should do in different areas. Well, if you were a Christian, this is the way you would do it. That's a non-Christian telling you, who is a Christian, who knows God, what you should do. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't even acknowledge him as their Savior yet. But there is this feel and this push in the world that to acknowledge a God, to be dependent on a creator, is somehow backwards or simple. And it's exact opposite. We're made to be dependent on a creator. We're made like that. And anything, when you say, I'm going to assert my independence, it's kind of like, I'm not going to try to meddle here, but it's kind of like, you know, marriage. You're made to be dependent on one another. It's supposed to be just two people living together, separate bank accounts, separate everything, and we're just here. Now, you're made to rely on one another. God made it so that, you know, the word says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Who are the three? If in a marriage covenant, it's the husband, it's the wife, and the Lord. That is solid. A rope cannot be broken easy when it has three cords. But we've made it so, well, you just go your way, you go that way. You know, you have your money, I have my money. That's not God's plan. Because when one of you is getting hit, the other one can say, no, this is what's true. This is what's real. And you rely on one another. And people say, well, that's a sign of weakness. No, it's a sign of strength when you rely on your life partner. When you rely on the Lord. I don't know about you men, but I need my wife. And you ladies that are married, you need your husband.
Amen.
Need. need. That's why God brought us together. And we need each other in the body of Christ. We need what He set up. We need the ability. We need what we're doing. We need to get together like this. Need. Not optional. Not optional. Not like, I don't need other people. I'm sufficient. No, we've gone into that in prior weeks. No, that's not the case. We need what God says we need. We need Him, number one. Amen? We need the Lord. We need to rely on Him. If He says He's the one that gives the increase, then we're looking to Him. You know, today we're celebrating 6 years that we started this church 6 years ago. And I will tell you, I haven't walked it out perfectly, but we're looking to Him to bring the increase. We're not trying to build a church, never have, never will. This is not about us. This is not about any organization or methods or ways. It's about looking to Him and saying, God, did You tell us to do this? And each step, it's been like that. God, did You tell us to do this? Yeah, we've made mistakes. We haven't done everything perfect. But if You told us to do it, then we're looking to You to do whatever You need to do to grow. We're not looking to plans or methods or what's supposed to be the way to do things. We're looking to the Lord, expecting Him to do what He said He's going to do, which He did in the book of Acts and which He has continued to do. And this is the way we ought to live our life. Let's go back to skip back to chapter 1. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Verse 18. Verse 18, it says, chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness. To who? To those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God that through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. To religious people, Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. You mean I have to put my faith on Him? I want to do it. I can get there on my own. That's what religion says. I am better than you. I'm holier. You don't have the same life I do. I don't need a Savior. They wouldn't say it like that. They say, I have my way to God. Many are the ways to God, people would say. That's religion. It's the same all around. It looks at what man has done. He says, to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. Greeks, what were they always seeking? Information. Knowledge, philosophy, that's very similar to what's going on now. What is the cross? Foolishness. Bunch of stories. Bible's nothing more than a bunch of just fables that were passed down. That's all it is. Oh, there's all these holes. Discredit the Word of God. There is more proof for this document. This is the most supported document in the world. Nobody was there thousands of years ago to see how certain things happen. But we have a written document. And we can believe the Lord. But this is foolishness, it says. Verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's just keep going. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Nobody can stand before him and say, now I'm something, look at me. Before the Almighty, before the Creator, look at me. Look at all I've done. Look at my ability. No, God said no flesh will glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Did you know that's a sign of strength? Now let's just say this. What he's saying when he's talking about wisdom, the wisdom according to the flesh, many wise according to the flesh, you're not talking about education. You're not talking about intelligence or know-how. We're not saying turn all that off. The word's not saying that. It's saying it's the attitude towards the Lord. You can be as educated as you think you ought to be and still have it all submitted to him. And do it all for the glory of him. But then you can rise above and say, I'm educated. I'm above these simple folks. I know more. And you are exalting yourself now above. You're saying, there's people that say their education is actually a stumbling block. They think they're too educated to know the Lord or to yield to him. Mm-hmm. This is what it's talking about. This wisdom that, scoffers, ha. There's no God, you and your big man in the sky. They say all kinds of blasphemous things against the Lord. There is a God. And they'll meet him someday. And we should not have the attitude that, who are you? Because they're his children. I mean, they're his creation. We're his children in the body. That's another thing. But just get that straight. It's very politically correct to say, we're all his children. No, Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And those are some of the most religious people of the day. He said, you're of your father, the devil. If people aren't serving God, they're not in the family of God. Now, God knows whether they'll come around or not. But that's not what Jesus said. It's politically correct to say that we're all just one big brotherhood of many ways to God, but it's not what the Bible teaches. Just chew on that if it doesn't settle. But the Word says it. No, there are people that go, well, no, I'm too smart for that religion. That's a crutch. That's a weak man's thing. You aren't emotionally as strong as I am. You don't know everything. If you knew all what is going on behind things, you wouldn't need that religion. You wouldn't need to believe in some, figment of your imagination. You can call him whatever you want, but it's just that you're relying on something. You just need to call it something. Really, it's just self-reliance. Foolishness. Foolishness. But it's becoming very prevalent. No, it's you're simple if you believe in a God and rely on him and say you need him. You need him to do what you're to do. You have to rely on him or else you're not going to make it. Oh, you're weak. No, the Bible says quite the opposite. It says no flesh will glory in his presence. And it says him who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's skip down. We might loop back up, but I just want to look at this verse in chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13 said, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Let's read that again, verse 14. "But the natural man..." Actually, let's go back and just read the verse 13 again too. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You know how you interpret the Bible? You interpret the Bible with the Bible. Spiritual things with spiritual. You don't look at the Bible and then look at something else outside and say, "Well, see, there. That means the Bible's not true." That's what people do. They see, there's this. We think we've proven this or done that, so therefore the Bible isn't true. That's backwards. Get this settled. Because if the Bible is not true, how do you know you're saved? This isn't just a game, folks. We know this, but I mean, seriously, it's not just, "Well, I've gone to church, I've heard it, and I've just chosen to believe it." How do you know? Why do you believe what the Word has said? What Word are you standing on? Why is that part of it true? That if we'll believe in our heart, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that we will be saved. Is that true? Oh yeah, that part's true. Well, then this other thing, we've shown that something isn't true. Well, we better watch what we're saying, because somehow... I'm not saying we understand everything on either side. We have to stay on his side. You've got to know what you believe. You interpret the Bible comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'll just say this too. You don't interpret what the Bible says based on some vision or anything either. Well, I've heard some teachers say, "Well, I've seen this, so that means, you know, I know what this says over in here, but we have something that's beyond the Word or something new." That's how cults get started. That's how religions get started. "Well, we have the Bible plus." No, it better line up with the Bible. Brother Hagin, he had a vision of the Lord Jesus. He had 8 or so visions. And the Lord was telling him some things, and it was concerning demons and evil spirits. And the Lord Jesus is talking to him. I mean, he can see him. And he said, "Lord, in all due respect, you're going to have to show me at least 3 references from the New Testament to back up what you're saying, or I can't receive what you're saying." He's talking to the head of the church. But he said, "You have to show me." And Jesus said, he smiled at him sweetly and said, "I'll do you one better, I'll give you 4. And he did. He gave him the New Testament references. Well, how do you, see, if you and I appreciate what Brother Hagin, his integrity and how he didn't say, "I'm because I said it." He always would say that. He said, and I'm not putting up Brother Hagin, I'm talking about him as a man who walked with God and in the integrity of God, okay? I'm not bringing up his name to say, you know, to elevate him. But as an example, he always would say, "Don't take what I say and run with it because I said it. You find it in the Bible. And if it says it in the Bible, then you go out and say the Bible says it. Don't say Brother Hagin says it." It ought to line up with the Word. Because otherwise, if God gave him a vision of Jesus appears to him and says something to him, and then he tells you and I, hey, the Lord appeared to me and says this, and we can't find it in the Bible, how can we believe it? There's a lot of that going on, though. People say, well, God told me. If it doesn't line up with this, throw it out. But I appreciate that. He said, so I know the reference, like in this instance, I know the references he's talking about, so I can go and look them up and say, yeah, that's what it's saying. Okay, that verifies that that was indeed Jesus talking to him and not an evil spirit. Because that happens. People are impressed by something spectacular, and then they get a doctrine or something delivered, and then a whole bunch of people go off in the weeds. Because it's an evil spirit. It's not the Word. Don't get afraid of that. You can't be deceived if you stay on the Word side. Verse 13, though, the Holy Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. This should tell you why you can't debate things with natural man and win them. People are trying to debate the Word. Well, let me show you. And they try to debate with people that are unsaved. The Bible says right now, right here, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. It says that what you and I believe it's going to be foolishness until they decide to submit their will to him and bow their knee. It is an issue of the will, not an issue of intellect. So many people are covering over and say, well, you prove this, you prove that. What they're doing is covering up the fact that they will not bow their knee to Jesus. And so they're going to use stuff to, well, you answer me this, you answer me that. And they'll have this list of things. Even if you answer, they're going to be like, oh yeah, well, whatever. Because why? They're not going to yield. But this idea that somehow we can, well, I'm going to debate this person, I'm going to win them to Christ. Well, you can give them the Word. There's a difference. You give them the Word and speak the Word. They can choose to believe the Word, but not your rationalizations. Not going to work. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're not naturally discerned. Spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. We are training, glory to God. We are training our spirits. When you're listening to the Word, what's going on right now is the Holy Spirit is quickening to your spirit and teaching you. And if you'll yield to it and yield to what He's telling in your life, you're becoming spiritually stronger. This is not your mental state. This is spirit. This is how you walk in this earth. Hallelujah. I hesitate to use these type of examples because it's something carnally, but it's so ingrained in pop culture and probably that you've seen now, so it's nothing new, that you can relate. And it's not just this example, it's many examples, similar things. But most people are familiar with Star Wars because it's been, what, 77? How many years is that, you know? 25 years, more than that, 30, 35 years now. So, you know, generally people have a knowledge. Well, think about it like this. This will help you. Because these things, and I've said some of this before, these things are patterned. People say, well, that's just fantasy and whatever. A lot of it lines up with the way the real spiritual realm is. Okay, so you have these Jedi. Luke Skywalker. Seriously, this you start looking at it. Luke Skywalker in the first movie, actually the fourth movie in the series, right? But it was the first one made, the episode 4. When he's going to the Death Star. Don't you guys laugh? You know exactly what I'm talking about if you've been around. You don't? So anyway, Luke Skywalker is going to the Death Star. He's going to take Darth Vader out, right? His instruments are telling him he's going on this big thing they call the Death Star, and he's going trying to shoot a missile into a very small specific place that's going to blow the whole thing up. And he has these instruments, and he's going down this narrow track, and he's going down to try to, you know, get this missile in, and it's coming up, and he hears Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you haven't seen the movie, this isn't going to mean anything to you. But Obi-Wan Kenobi tells him, use the Force. Use the Force, Luke. He tells him, shut off your instruments because that's all mechanical and natural. It won't do you any good right now. And he takes his instruments and he's got this, you know, targeting guide and whatever, and he puts it away. And they say, what are you doing? He said, I'm fine. And he's going down and he waits till he feels like it's the right time to shoot, and he shoots and he blows the thing up. And all through that type of stuff, there are these people called Jedi that have a sense of the spiritual realm. There is both good and bad. And normal people are walking around, but you have a Jedi walk around. They have stuff. They're tapped into something beyond the natural. And people go, oh, isn't that neat? That's fantasy. That's a whole lot like the way we are really walking. I'm not saying, you know, you can do acrobatics and stuff like they do and you have lightsabers. But people look in this natural and walk around and say, well, you're really developed here or developed in this natural part here, and totally miss the fact that we are actually spiritual beings. And you can call somebody that know, you know, they have a walk with God and they're walking with Him and know some spiritual things. Well, you're simple, but they're developed in the things that make a difference. They're developed spiritually. This is real. This is real, and this is what we're talking about. The natural things, the spiritual things will look like foolishness to the natural man. But they are, in fact, real. But you're not going to get somebody to believe it through their natural head because it's not naturally discerned. It's like, I don't understand that with my head. I don't see it with my eyes. I can't get it with my ear. You don't discern it through any of that. It's your spiritual man. It's your spirit man. And so when you're walking your course out and running your course, you need to go by what is on the inside, what God is telling you to do. And you look around and say, well, I don't understand. I'm not sure about so-and-so. I can't see it. I can't figure it out. It doesn't matter. What you need to know is it God telling you, and is He leading you, and is He helping you? And let Him do what He needs to do in your life. Let Him build it. Let Him lead you and guide you, and you'll get to where you need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.